Okay, we're on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, top of the page. Klayim, Yerkev Tarid Al Gabi Yarbuz. If a guy grafted a chard onto purple amaranth, whatever that is, it's either asparagus or fenugreek. Even though a Jew is not allowed to do so, note the Mehen Ruzera, you can take the seed. You can plant this someplace else. We mentioned this earlier that there's no Isser Hanor from these things. Isser Hanor is only by Klaya Geffen.
Is there a reason why we need another example of the same halacha?
I don't know. Good question. Manafik Bin Hain, what product emerges from these two cruise bomblin, Gordon or whatever that is, garden or whatever that is. Zargum is lefes manafak minhain, what comes out of the shoots of a grapevine and a turnip, is tafnine, carrot. I don't think that's how we produce carrots. I don't know, grapevines with turnips, that's how we got carrots? I'm finding this hard to believe. But whatever. Shumar v'karpas, fennel and celery, manafak minhain, what comes from that? Pitrusilinun, parsley. Losing a butman manafim binehon grafts almonds and terebinths, you get pistachin, you get pistachio. Say some nareim manafim binehon shizfin, you get this other thing. Okay, halacha hay. That's nine behind nafos, the radish and the nafos.
So many of these vegetables that we eat nowadays
are teruvus. They were originated in teruvus. That's correct. Those of you who like pistachios, I mean, I love pistachios. I love pistachios as a snack. I love pistachios in my ice cream. I mean, I just love pistachios. So, I don't feel guilty about it either. Okay, it's nine behind Nafos, the radish and the Nafos, 20. He says, what? Nafos is in Mishnah 3a. It's either elongated radish, a variety of turnip, or it's rape. Anyway, if it is the elongated radish, the word snown radish that appears here must refer to the rounded radish. Now, the problem is, he's going to say in a second, we're saying here in this Mishnah that it's snown and the nafos, skipping to the end of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, even though they are similar, they are klaim. So this is a problem. Because if it's a radish and an elongated radish, why would those be klaim? They're almost identical. That's what he's saying over here. The Gemara describes the taste of the nafos and its known as being very different, whereas the rounded and elongated radishes taste similar. In other words, the Gemara is going to say, why is it klaim? Because going to come out with maskara because it tastes so different, but it doesn't taste different if those are the translations. Anyway,
so that's the first time we're getting a presentation of what differentiates.
With this Gemara, we're about to read. We're going to read it
first.
This is the Gemara that's going to define. I don't know if it's the only Gemara, but this is headquarters over here. We're going to see it in a second. Hakaro b'halufson, mustard and shalak. And Dolas Ivanis im Hamitzras Raharmutzog, Greek gourd, with Egyptian gourd, Amber gourd, Alpha Pishkam Zalzev, even though they're similar, Rhymes of Azad, they are Klaim. Okay, let's go on. Get ready for the definitions now, because it's not going to be Pashit. Plants of different species are usually forbidden. There are exceptions. I'm Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason said the following rule. Yesh Mehen. When you have different species, some cases where they went by the Chochu Achra Pri, they went by the fruit. So the Chacham decided that since their fruits are similar, they're not Klayim. Yesh Mehem Shehochu Achra Ha'olin. Sometimes they went by the leaves. They decided that since the leaves are similar, they're also not Klayim. Now that's the way we're translating the Gemara now. Chaim, do you just join? Chaim, we just joined. We're on 4A2. We just turned the pages, but it's a critical Gemara. So,
okay.
So we're start on 4A1 with Omer Bionison. Sometimes the rabbis went after the fruit, even though there are other ways in which they are different. But since the fruit was the same, it's not client. And please mute your whoever is on there. And sometimes it went after the leaves. Next, halef. Oh, 1 second. So I wanted to tell you something over here. So, So I wanted to just tell you over here. There's a machlokes here between the Rambam and the Rash how to learn the Gemara. The Rambam learns that the Gemara is giving you the reason why, even though it's different, because it has this one similarity, therefore it is not client. That's the way the Rambam learns the Gemara. Since the fruits are the same, or because the leaves are the same, therefore it's not client. The Rash has just the opposite shot. He says that the Gemara is saying that even though, let's see, what does he say? He says, however, the Rash takes the opposite approach. The Gemara teaches when the prohibition does apply. Rabbi Yonasan means if two plants are different in either fruit or leaves, they are client. In other words, it's got to be the same in order for it not to be the client. But if either one is different, then it is client. And then now it's going to be difficult how to learn the next piece of Gemara, according to the Rash.
The fruit but the leaves have to match.
According to the Rash, that you need both. According to the Rambam, either or. And it's not a universal rule. Sometimes, I think the Chazanish says it the best. The Chazanish says it, he quotes it over here. Let's see here.
The Gemara seems to be going,
it's
either one or the other.
Yeah, that seems to be the Prashat in the Gemara. That's what this footnote B is talking, trying to explain the Gemara. Let me just find where I start. Here, Chazanish answers the Rush's view. The Gemara is not dictating absolute rules. Rather, it's giving a general picture of the factors used by the rabbis in defining species. Two of these factors are appearances of the fruits and the leaves. Sometimes they went after fruits. That is to say, they classified them as two different species because the fruits were different. In other cases, they went by the leaves because the leaves were different.
So again, species. So there's no pre-existing book that says this is species. So it's either the leaves. There's some measure of difference between the leaves. How that's defined, we've not yet decided.
Everything. Yeah.
And the same is true with the flavor of the fruit.
Correct.
Also, we've not yet defined sour versus sweet, or right, bitter versus yeah, very bitter.
Yeah, we don't have.
But as long as there's a difference, there's a muckum to say that these are not.
As long as they are different, then it would be client. According to the Rash, if either one is different, it's claim. According to the Rambam, if either one is the same, then it might not be claim.
And how different is different?
I don't know.
I haven't missed that.
Yeah, we haven't said that. I don't think anyone is going to tell you that. Okay, so let's go on over here. So Rabbi Yonasan gives examples. Halef esat's known. So you have the turnip and the radish. All right? I mean, I picture in my mind a radish, and I picture in my mind a turnip. And they are a little bit alike. They're like crunchy, right? And they have a little bit of a bitter edge to them.
They both grow
under the ground.
They're
white on the inside. There's similarities. So the rabbis went by the fruit. So they're not klayim. Halef esat nafos, hilchu b'nachar ha'olin. Turnip and nafos, their leaves are the similar, so therefore they went by the leaves. Okay? Now, hasiva, and the Gemara asks, harei tznon v'nafos. What about the radish and the nafos? Harei pri dome v'ha'olin domen. The fruits are similar. Again, this when we say fruits are similar at this point, we're saying the way they look, they have a similar look, not taste. The taste, the Gemara is going to end up saying what the Pshat is. So at this point, we're saying that these two, the radish and the nafos, they look the same, and the leaves are the same, and yet the tamar klayim, yet you made them klayim, right? Our town of our Mishnah, right? So what's going on with that? That seems to contradict Rabbi Yonasan. So Amar Rabbi Yonah, b'zeh hilchu b'hen, Achartam hapri. Here they went after the taste. So, in other words, they are so different in taste, even though they may look the same and have similar leaf structure. Nonetheless, once you have that radical difference in taste, the Chacham decided that they are klayim. So this is going to be very kind of...
So they have to be similar in some things, but not at all dissimilar in other things.
Whenever something is dissimilar in any one of these stages, we have three criteria, right? The look of the leaves, the look of the fruit, and the taste of the fruit. So if something is so dissimilar on any one of those factors, perhaps, then we throw it out. Certainly the taste, okay.
That's
what we seem to get from this Gemara. So this is a Gemara to remember. Dalet Amud Aleph, that's where the Gemara defines, right? Remember it, put it in your head. 4a, 2, where the Gemara defines what is klayim, what's not klayim.
Since I'm doing zikrun, Dalet is a door, and it's the door to understanding this.
And now Dr. Cooper has given us another additional simen, that Dalet is a door, and it's the doorway through which we go through to understanding what klayim is.
And we still don't know how different is.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, some of us get stuck in the door because we're overweight. Okay. That's me. Okay. Okay, let's go on to the next mission. The next mission we're going to talk about not klay zroim, but klayim of animals, which is kind of like another topic. So... Yeah.
We don't do anything except for put the two animals in the same space. For klayim, there's much more of a proactive nature that the farmer, the person doing it, is creating the klayim. Here the animals are doing it themselves.
That's what we're going to talk about. There's actually...
We're going to see a little bit. There's no issur yichud for animals.
Right.
So you could put two animals together in a corral, even though they may fool around, but there's no issur lifnei iver. For animals,
right, so
you can put them in a corral. The actual issur of klayim is to actually make them mate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Without getting graphic, because I don't know how to do it, but there must be some trick to it that I'm not interested in learning. Hazeva, Kelev, the wolf and the dog. Kelev HaKufri VaHashul, the village dog and the fox. Okay, so these are, again, we're going to assume that we're still using the old rule that when we have pairs here, the pair is not klayim, but one of any pair with one of any other pair will be klayim. Let's just assume that rule is true here too. Kalev HaKufri, the village dog, Hashul, and the fox. So it's very interesting. So it comes out that the Kalev, the dog, and the Kalev Kufri, the village dog, even though they both say that they're dogs, it sounds like from the Mishnah that they're going to be klayim, right? So let's keep that in mind. Ha'izim b'hatzavoyim, the goat and the gazelle, ha'yelim harachelim, ibex, how do you pronounce E-W-E? U? Hasus v'haperet, the horse and the mule. A mule is, I think he says it over here, the offspring of a female horse and a male donkey, or a male horse and a female donkey. So those are both collectively called mules, either one. So the mule and the donkey. So one second. So we have the horse and the mule and the donkey, right? So I guess because it came from one of them, right? It's like the mother. Hachamor v'harod, the donkey and the wild donkey. Alpha pisha doimen zelazeh, klayim zebazeh. Even though they're similar, they're klayim. Oh, what are we saying here? That they are klayim with each other. Oh, I messed up on that. I thought we were going to say these pairs are the same.
Wait a second.
No. 1 second.
No, they're not.
So these are forbidden. This Mishnah lists pairs of animals that are forbidden. Okay, so scratch anything I said in the introductory remarks.
So to bring them together,
so
in a way we don't want to talk about is forbidden, but the donkey is sterile, so it's not going to have offspring.
The mule is sterile.
The donkey and the horse. Yes.
So therefore, if these are pairs of klayim, then crossing one pair with another pair doesn't tell us that they're calling or not calling. Because then you can have a dog and a village dog, and it would be maybe not quiet.
Well, that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara's first diuk. So the Gemara makes a diuk just the opposite of what I said in the beginning. I messed the whole thing up. I'm so sorry to confuse you. The Gemara says, Ha kelef im kelef kufrin, ain't on klein. The Gemara is making the opposite diuk. I thought the diuk was the other way around. So it says, Ha kelef in the Mishnah that says, the zev and the kelef are klein, the kelef kufrin and the shul are klein. So the Gemara wants to make a diuk, but the pair, one from each pair, the kelef and the kelef kufri, are not klein. Now, that, the Gemara says, is not like Reb Meir. Because there's a machlokas in another place. Where's the other place? It's 74a. It's a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. Where you have a machlokas or a Meir and the Chachamim about what is the status of a kelev. Is a kelev a behema? Or is a kelev a chaya? Okay, so let's just put down the rule. The rule is l'sakrosh v'shor v'chamor yachtov. You can't plow with a behemoth tahara and a behemoth tamea. But you also, when it comes to l'asimya klayim, you can't have klayim anytime you have a chaya and a behemoth. That's for sure also. That's completely two different meaning. And for sure would also be klayim. Okay, so our Mishnah, which says kelev with kelev kufrin is not klayim, can't come out like a mayor. Why? Because a mayor must hold that they are klayim. Afal gam der mayor omar kelev min behema, even though he says a kelev is a min behema, of but he agrees kelev kufri hu min chaya. But he holds that the kufri kelev is a chaya. So Hokelef and Kelef Kufri, I'm back to Rameer Klayim, so therefore he obviously holds his Klayim. Whereas our Mishnah seems to indicate that it would not be Klayim. And that's just a statement. Is there anything here I want to show you here? Yeah. So, and let's look in footnote 40 a little bit. So he mentions the Mishnah later on, the status of the dog. Reb Meir says it's a behema, the Chacham hold that it's a chaya. But even Reb Meir holds that a village dog is a chaya. So, in other words, just making it simple. So our Mishnah, which indicates that a kelev or the kelev kufri are not klayim, it's going to be because we hold they're both chayas. So because they're both chayas, they can integrate with each other, assuming they're the same min. Whereas Reb Meir, because he holds one is a behema, therefore he agrees kelev kufri is a chaya, therefore it's not. It can't be. It's going to be klein.
So if he felt kelev kufri was a behema also,
then there would be no problem.
So it's not that these are behemoths or these are chayas. It's one of each.
What's the point?
It's not that this one is a behema and this one is a chaya or vice versa. As long as you've got one of each, one behema, one chaya, that's klein.
That's klein. Yes. I'm not sure what you mean by it's not. Okay, whatever. Anyway.
But you can have two behemoths that are klayim and two chayas that are klayim.
Let's see. He says over here that it's this distinction between the common dog and the village dog, which implies that the latter is relatively wild or undomesticated, is understandable according to all four definitions of the village dog. A, it resembles a fox. B, it's used for hunting. C, it barks at night in deserted areas near villages, meaning it's not domesticated. And D, it's a special type of dog known as the Kufrian dog. So in other words, let's see, in 31, what was he saying in 31? They were saying, in 31 he mentioned this about the village dog. In other words, what's distinct about the village dog? And he mentions these four things. So, Yeah, so that's why, so what he's doing here in footnote 40 is he's explaining why Reb Meir would hold why Reb Meir agrees with the Chachomim that the Kelev Kufri is a Chaya. Because since it has all these wild characteristics, so therefore he's going to classify it as a Chaya. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Of lo tanisa. It doesn't teach us in our Mishnah whether they are climb or not. Rabbi Yochanan says, but I have a proof from a brisa. I see say, 1-4b now, I tese min devar b'doloya. There was a brisa by a person named Bar Deloya who said the following. He said, Tarnagolim ha-pepsioni, chicken with a pheasant, Tarnagolim ha-tavas, chicken with peafowl, afal pishadam zelazah, kalayim zebazah. Even though they're similar, they may look the same, whatever, but then nonetheless, they're kalayim. So there you have a brisa before Eshes. It talks about different types of birds, and it says explicitly that they're kalayim. So you see that it is shayach to have kalayim by a bird. So Rish Lakish asks a question. This is, of course, you know, Rish Lakish always asks Rabbi Yochanan all the questions. So here you have it right now. There's a Mefurisha Mishnah. This is a Mishnah above a comma. What was it again? 55a and 50 daf nun hay. So over there it says that there that the these animals are all the same. The chayin chayav oif ki yitz b'hem. It says that besides all the other domesticated animals, in other words, even though the pasuk may use the word shor, it's lav dafka shor. It could mean any animal that's mazik. It's an interesting mishnah. It says. And it, by Har Sinai, it says that you're not allowed, it's not allowed to go on the mountain. So it applies to all the animals. And also, there's an Isra Kalayim. And then it says, in the Mishnah, it says, and the same thing is true for an oaf. So it's a Beferish Mishnah. So Rish Lakish is asking, what are you going to Brises for? We have a Mishnah in Bava Kama that says explicitly that an oaf is Shayach to Kalayim. So the answer is, why did Rabbi Yochanan go to Bar Dalia's Brisa? Because there's something added to in the Brisa that we don't get from the Mishnah, and that is the details. Because the Mishnah over there just says that Of is Shayach Kalayim, but he gets into the actual nitty-gritty, tells you which types of birds. Okay, that's the answer to the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, Sorchoi L'Hadot Rabbi Yochanan, you need the Brisa signed Rabbi Yochanan. It says Chaya. Well, Parshan Tohachan explains what it is, which wild beasts are Osir. Tino Behema Taman, or Parshan Tohachan, and explain which Behema domesticated animals are Osir. Oif Tanisa Taman, and birds too. So Osir, Parshan Tohachan, he brought the Dalia came and said the chicken with the pheasant and so on, which ones are forbidden. So that's the answer to Shlokish's Kasha. Amr Biyasi Vigaos. And also it's coming to tell you something else, because if you look at the Mishnah over there above the Kama, all it does is it says it's Osir and Klayim. So Klayim, as we just finished saying, has two Isurim. It implies you can't hook them together to pull a wagon, right? As long as you can't put them under the same yoke pulling a wagon together. And it also has the Isser of mating. Now, if you look, I just want to point this out to you. I happen to know this because I happen to have given shir that week that we learned in Hay in the Daf HaShavua on Bava Kama. So I'm just going to let you know a very interesting fact. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos on that mission in Bava Kama only mentions the Isser of pulling wagons. He doesn't mention anything about mating. Rashi over there on the Mishnah says it applies that it's b'klayim bein b'harva bein whatever it's hakarisha, that he says that it refers to both. So it's just an interesting thing. The Rambam ignored the mating part of it in his Perush HaMishnayos. In Yana Chazaka he says, of course, like Rashi. But I just want to point out, you're going to look at this Gemara now and you're going to see like a little remez to the Rambam's Mahalach. Because Rabbi Yossi is saying that it was right for Rabbi Yochanan to quote the Braisa, because the Mishnah in Bava Kama only says Isser Klayim, and maybe that was just talking about Loisachash Meshavah Hamar Yachdov, and not to the mating part. So that's why he went and quoted the Braisa of Badalia, where it's specifically talking about Harva. So that may be where the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos got the idea to only say his pshat on the way he did. This is a little remez there. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Kahana Shal Rish Lakish Kahana. I don't know what he's referring to. Rav Kahana, and called him Kahana without the Rav because he was a little kid at the time. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody else. So he calls him Kahana. Kahana asked Rish Lakish the following question: Harmar Bia B'Chayis Hayoma. What about mating marine animals, right? A dolphin with a whale, or something like that.
Fish to fish.
I'm not sure. Does he say what it is? It says here, the Gemara's question does not pertain to fish in general, only to creatures of the sea, because there has to be physical contact between the animal for there to be harvah. Fish, you know, the female just lays eggs, and then the male does some kind of a fertilization. It's all outside. There's no physical contact, so it's not shayach harvah. So therefore, the Gemara is specifically talking about things like I said, dolphins and whales. Okay. He mentioned that birds also lack external genitalia. Okay, that's a separate problem. So the question is, that's what Kahana asked Rish Lakish. So he said, even by marine creatures too, it says, which means, in other words, if Hashem created it according to their species, so you're not supposed to violate the Bria. The Bria is what is really the Yisod, like we said many times. The Yisod of the Isser Klayim is because you're going against the Bria. Okay? And I guess you want to stop here? Okay, we'll stop here. On Daf Hei Omanala.
Shukaya.
Kol Tov, everybody.